Good morning to bonjour, bon dia, the message today is not going to be too animated because I worked 15 hours yesterday, but I spoke all those languages yesterday, just maybe one word or two words, but that's all. But we had a great time at the elections yesterday, and it was 6:30 till 9:30 at night, and we had a great time. But here we are. And I'm excited to be with you. Now, I know all preachers probably say that, but I'm not a preacher. I'm a friend of Parkcrest. And we go back to the Fuller's days. We go back, too far back, really. But anyway, we go back. And so I feel very comfortable. I hope I don't feel too comfortable. Sometimes my wife thinks I get out of hand when I'm with friends. So you'll have to excuse me. It's my character. And But we have a subject so interesting this morning, and I'm going to ask our techie there if he could just switch me over, and we're going to put on the PowerPoint, and I'll start off on the message that God has put upon my heart. Let's just see if we can do this right now. You are okay, co-host. So we'll share here. Okay, share. Here, oh my, I think we're there. Did we do it, Mark? Are we there?
Yeah, we're there. It's good.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's nice when we're there, that's for sure. Okay, I just got to get a couple other things here set up, and I'll be right with you. There we go. This morning's message is a very interesting message, and it's on adoption. But today, you know, you can adopt the street. Did you know that? Yeah. I've got lots of signs to show me that we can adopt a street. We can also adopt dogs. Woof, woof. You want to adopt a dog? You can adopt the dog. You can adopt what else can you adopt there? Man, you can adopt just about anything today, a tree, a street, a dog. You can adopt a neighborhood. Yes. And how about, would you like to adopt a family? No. Okay. Now, if you like cats, you can adopt a cat. And there's lots to say about adoption in our world today. And there's adoption and there's fostering children, but we're going to be talking about adoption, and it's a very real subject for me personally, because I was adopted, so it just happened to be the theme that we're going to be reading about. So I'm going to ask Fraser now if he would be so kind as to read the scripture, and if you have your Bible, open it up. We'll take a second there, Fraser, and you can follow along. This is the New Living Translation. But you follow along in whatever one that you're comfortable with, and Fraser will read all 20 verses, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'm reading from the ESV because that's what I have open beside me. That's all right.
Perfect.
I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father! So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and through my condition was a trial to you, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me and receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you.
Thank you so much, brother. Beautiful reading. I wish I could read like that. But anyway, being dyslexic and here we are together. That's the main thing. And we're talking about adoption and such a beautiful subject. Adoption is a beautiful reflection of God's love. The Bible tells us that true religion is taking care of orphans. Those who choose to adopt often experience a stressful and trying process that could be loss of hope. It is my goal that these Bible verses will bring comfort and encouragement to those in the adoption process and those who have celebrated a complete adoption, and for all of us who know people who have been adopted. Growing up as a adopted child myself, I often was told that my parents loved me and that I was loved twice. That's what they told me. Once by my mother, my biological mother, who carried me and gave me life, and again by my adopted mother and dad. Now my dad, he loved me. And he divorced once, and so I got a third mother, and then he divorced again, so I got a fourth mother. But I was loved by my dad, my adopted dad, and I later found out, we'll talk about that later, that my biological mother loved me also. But you know, I'm going to tell you something even so exciting, is that I've been loved three times. Because God loves me. God is my heavenly Father, and he loves me. He loves me so much that he allowed his son to die on the cross. And that's why we could take the vaccine for the pandemic of sin, and we could experience being healed because of that vaccine with Christ's sin. Christ's blood that he died for us. So as we take Christ into our hearts, that's the vaccine for the pandemic of sin. So I've been loved three times. Now, adoption isn't spoken a lot about in the church. I don't know the last time I gave a full sermon or even heard a full sermon on adoption, but it is very biblical. But as I began this message, I realized that there are many people who have adopted children. Now, my wife and I have prayed for, and we're going to see a couple of the families. We have prayed for different people who adopted children because we thought of even adopting a child ourselves. But after having four children, we thought that was sufficient, and that would be too many to have five. But we even went through some processes of adopting a child since I was adopted. And it's not always easy. It's very costly, very timing. We know one couple that adopted some children and they went to the Hades. I can't put pictures of them up. They didn't want me to, but that's fine. But there's others that have allowed me to, and we'll look at some of the families as we go along. But this family went four times to Hades to pick up their children. So it's not always easy to do. Okay, let's see what's going on here. I'll see if Mark was, there we go. There's my mother. Isn't she beautiful? Yes, I was her first husband. And this is my mother with her second husband. Now, that's my biological mother, and I met her when I was 50 years old, and that was a couple of years ago, not that many, but just a few years ago, and she, we had a wonderful reunion together. But that's my mother, and we're going to be talking a little bit about her. She's gone on to, I'm hoping with the Lord, she was in the Salvation Army all of her life, and different things came up in her life and so on, that it was hard. But to summarize, there's three statements. A person is adopted who is not a member of a family by birth, adoption. Okay, many Christians don't realize that adoption is profoundly a biblical concept. It is one of the key words that the Apostle Paul uses to describe our relationship to God. Let's begin with a simple definition. Adoption is the legal act of permitting or placing a child with parents or parents that they are not their birth parents. It's a legal transaction in the Bible, and it is a legal transaction today. Adoption results in the breaking up of the first family. Like you'll see a little later on, my first mother and my biologic father, and I had his name, and when I was adopted, I lost all that. That was gone. But after the finalization of an adoption, there's no legal difference between biological and adopted children in most judicial places. And we'll find out that that the person who is adopted is a member of that family, a legal member of that family. Sorry. This is a legal process, and there is now a new member of your family as a result of it. So it's a legal process that is very important. The word adoption means the placement of a son to one whom it does not naturally belong. By law, the adoption person has the same privileges, benefits, position, responsibilities and obligation as a natural born son. And Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, so you have been not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now we can call him Abba Father. So each one of you who took the bread and wine and are born again, are part of the family of God, you have been adopted. Yes, we have been adopted. Isn't that wonderful? And that is so important. And we find this in the Word of God. Look at what Romans 8:23 says. And we believe also grown, even though we have a Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full right as his adopted children, including a new body he has promised us. Now that's exciting. I know I read that poorly. I apologize. That's why I put it on the screen so you can read it. Romans 9:4 says, they are the people of Israel chosen to be God's adopted children. Adopted children. God adopted the people of Israel. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his laws. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. And God has given the same thing to you and I today. I think that's exciting. Let's carry on. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Do you see how many times adoption is in the Bible? It's amazing. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him that privilege. Yes, not slaves of fear, as we see in our chapter we're about to get into. Now, my name isn't really Ronald William Bramwell Edgecombe. I mean, it is now, of course. But I was Ronnie Bryant. And William Bramwell Booth, if you all know, was the Salvation Army, founder of the Salvation Army. And I was named after him because my mother and my grandmother, my great-grandparents were in the Army. But see, now I am Edgecombe. I was a Bryant, but now it's been changed. And here we are again. This is my mother on the left with my aunt and my three uncles and my grandmother and grandfather. And that's my mother with me. As I said, I met her for the first time when I was a few years younger. Now, to show you this a bit, here are some of the papers, just a couple of the papers. On January the 4th, 1946, I hereby require the Children's Aid Society to accept the care and custody of my son. My mother couldn't keep me. She had me out of wedlock, and in those years, being married out of having children out of wedlock was a real black spot on your life, where today it happens all the time. So she tried to keep me for a year, but then she couldn't. So she put me up for adoption. The mother's asking for placement for his illegitimate son, Ronnie, that's me. He has been staying in various foster homes, none of which have worked out. He has been crying a great deal during the night. Mother's looking after Brenda, one of Ronnie's older sisters. As you can see on the right, it's not a computer thing, but you can see my name there, Ronnie Bryant. Are you with me? You see what I'm just showing you what happened. Dr. Kirkpatrick felt that Ronnie was definitely an unadoptable. The psychologist thought that he might be an imbecile. I know some of you are smiling there, but anyway, the social worker feels that he is not adopted. I guess I had some problems when I was young, living in these different homes, and they wanted to put me on the back burner. They wanted me put in the crib way in the back and say he's not adoptable, he's an imbecile, and he's not worth putting out there for adoption. Then we go along in my little life. Ron was in the orphan for a long time. He went to live, and it gives different names of people that I went to live with. And finally, on February the 28th, he was sent back to the orphan for a temporary time. He was placed in the home of the Edgecombe family. So the Edgecombe family, Bill and Florence, my first adopted father and my second mother, my first adopted mother, they adopted me legally. I became an Edgecombe. Are you with me? But in 1951, my first adopted mother left my father, and I was alone with my father and my other adopted brother, Jerry. But you know, the wonderful thing about this whole story is what the Bible says. The Bible says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And Jesus came to me when I was 10 years old up in Amble Bible Camp. Another verse is, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And I certainly was in distress. Now, this family gave me permission. But first, Moses was adopted, Esther was adopted, and this other person was adopted. So there's three stories in the Bible. If you want to look up after adoption, these three people were adopted. Now, this family here, this is just a very good friend of mine, Steve and Heather. They adopted three children. And they can't imagine how they would feel without them. A lot of you at Park Crest have met this family. They have come up to our family camp between Cascades and Park Crest. So you've met them. And they had a hard time. It cost them a lot of money. But out of the goodness of their heart, they adopted these three little kids, one after the other, different times, and there they are, a happy family. Now, there's one little closer, and I asked permission for this. Look at this, eh? Isn't that something? I mean, can you imagine them without their gorgeous little daughter? Are you watching? I hope so. Wave to yourself. I mean, can you imagine life without her? I can't. Gloria can't. I mean, I'm Uncle Ron to her. And we can't even think what it would be without her. And that's only from afar off. Can you imagine mom and dad? But see, they adopted her and she became a Rogers. And she always will be a Roger. And she's legally in the family of the Rogers. And that's exciting. Now, Roman law, in the number of places in the New Testament, uses the word adoption to describe how we came into God's family. That's in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, 15, 23, chapter 9, verse 4, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, which we're looking at right now, Ephesians 1 and 5. These are all verses talking about you and I who have been adopted into the family of God. However, the meaning is not exactly the same as in common English usage. The Greek word of adoption means to place place as a son or daughter within a family with full family privileges as an adult, so that when that child becomes an adult, when he becomes he or she becomes an adult in the time of the Roman law, they had the full privileges of the family. When they were younger, they were loved, but a lot of times they were looked after by nannies and by babysitters and by aunts and uncles and so on, but the legal son or daughter had all the rights and privileges of that family when they become older. The adopted son enjoys the same privileges as natural born son. Now, my mother and father, when they adopted me, they didn't have any children, but if they had had children, I would have had the same privileges as my stepbrother. According to Romans law, the adoption person lost all the rights in his old family. For instance, when Mr. Bryant died and my mother died and her husband died, they tried to put me in the will. I didn't ask for it. I was in Argentina as a missionary, but I got letters back and forth saying they went to lawyers because he had a lot of money, and they wanted my sister, one of my sisters, wanted adopted, she's a real sister, same mother. They wanted me a part of the the herencia. So anyway, they couldn't do it because I was legally adopted to the Edgecombe. I was no more in that family. But in the family of God, we've actually become a part of it. We become heirs. Isn't that exciting? We've got heirs. That means this, notice verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 there. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slaves, though he is master of all. That means when I was a child or in Roman law, I would have no extra privileges. I was just like an ordinary slave or person. They loved me, of course, but I had no until I became heir, when it says here, but is under guardian and stewards until the time appointed by the father. So when I have my bar mishma in the Jewish religion, you become an adult. You become an heir to everything. Totally. No, God sent him to redeem, it says in the word of God in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as children. Isn't that exciting? We have all the privileges. We have all the God has given us everything, and is so true, that we might receive full rights as sons. And we can call our Heavenly Father Abba Father, that we might receive full rights as sons. When we become in Christ, when we become part of the family of God, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God sends us the Holy Spirit into our hearts to give us new life and the assurance that we are God's children. This is that still small voice of God that speaks to us, whispers to us, you are now a child of God. And the Holy Spirit allows us and encourages us to say, Abba, Father. How many times have you said that? Abba, Father. The word Abba in the original language, which is Aramaic, means the little children used it for father. It is an intimate word, a personal word of enduring, endearing affection. In English, we might say dad or daddy or papa or dear father. You know, my father, he tried. He was not a Christian, so it was a little bit different for him. But you know, I became from a Bryant to an Edgecombe. And it is very, in a very tender way, we can talk to our father as Abba, Heavenly Daddy. In other words, in the world today, for instance, only two people can call this man dad. And that's Jerry, my brother, and myself. And if I say dad, if he was alive, he would turn to me and talk to me. And the privilege of calling him dad was given to us both. We were both adopted into the Edgecombe family. The same is true for my three sons and my daughter, Danielle, a lot of you know, David, Joel, and Leanne. They are the only person in this world who has a unique relationship with me, Edgecombe, and they can say dad. And when they say dad to me, I say, yeah, can I help you? Just like that, just like that. It was one of my if one of my two sons or my daughter or any of them go astray, they can still call me daddy. They'll always be Edgecombes. See, when we become a part of the family of God, we become adopted children. And take a look at verse 5 in your Bibles there. We are redeemed. So it is in the spiritual realm, we are redeemed. We are bought by the precious blood as we celebrated the Lord's Supper, the precious blood. He gave us his blood so he could redeem us. He bought us back to God the Father. We are part of the family of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ who died in our place. If we know Jesus as Savior, God is now our Heavenly Father. And we can come to him in prayer anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And we have full assurance that he will listen to us. When we are in trouble, when the world has turned against us, when we are discouraged, when we feel like giving up, when we are confused, we can talk to our Father in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I get excited about that. Yesterday, I talked to him quite a bit. As I was working and talking to people and just trying to live the Christian life and showing people, they all knew that I was a preacher and that I was going to be preaching Sunday morning. You know, the Spirit within us brings us back to our Father again and again and teaches us Abba, Father. Yes, here are six blessings Paul mentions in Galatians chapter 4 that flows to us because Christ came. And let's look at him. We are redeemed. We are adopted. Verse 5, verse 6, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. He fills us. Now, whether we allow him to work, that's where the rubber meets the road. We are to let the Holy Spirit run our lives in the sense to be obedient to God's word. Yes, we call God Father. That is so important to me, especially on Father's Day. Sure, I think of my biological father that I've never And he was a Warnock. I never met him, but I've never seen any pictures of him. But when I got all my adoption papers and everything else and talked to my mother, she told me about him. But, you know, I couldn't call him father, but I can call God the Father my father because he is my father. We are now God's children. We are now God's children. These are exciting things. We are heirs to God. Can you imagine heirs to God? That's pretty exciting. But when he sent, so when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Isn't that exciting? Verse 5 is so important. It's a heart matter. God came to redeem those who are under the law. And we can't keep the law. I try. I sometimes get upset with myself because, you know, I do what I don't want to do, but I do it and I know it's against the law of God. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But because of Christ dying on the cross, I have been adopted. Isn't that amazing? Whatever I do, I'm a child of God. And this even proves to us about eternal security. Do you realize that? Once you get adopted into the family of God, you are a child of God. We say para siempre, forever and ever and ever and ever. Sure, we might lose some of our reward. Sure, we might be unhappy. And if you're a Christian and you're not living like Christ wants you to do, you're going to be the most unhappy person in the world because you're not living as your father wants you to. And when I goof, when I make a mistake, when I sin, I feel awful. But I thank God for 1 John 1:9. Isn't it wonderful to be a part? You know, your worth is not in your performance. We are saved by grace through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast. You know, let's suppose that one of my four children does something wrong and later feel bad about it, like I've done many times in my life. So he or she comes to me and say, Dad, I'm very sorry. I mean, this happened to Danielle many times. I'm very sorry for what I did, and I'm going to try to do better in the future. I'm going to try to be more of a son or a daughter from now on. When I hear that, I am so happy. I am so happy because he's, you would call the word a biblically repented. He's asked forgiveness for his sin. But even when he was sinning, he was still my child. He was still part of the Edgecombe family. I didn't say Danny, Brian, so-and-so. No, he was Daniel Edgecombe. From the moment on that he was born and came into the family Edgecombe, he was an Edgecombe. He has been a child of God, and he's a child of him, and he's a part of the family of God. Our outstanding isn't based on our performance, our standing. That is so important. And you've got to realize that, and I've got to realize that it's not what we do. It says to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it's only by the grace of God that we are part, really, of the family of God. And, you know, I'm so happy that I'm a part of the family of God. Now, the application of this whole message, really, is that. Our outstanding is based on God's grace. Adoption guarantees the following seven things. Are you with me? One, you are a full member of God's family. A full member. Isn't that exciting? You have a full right and privilege as in heaven. You know, we sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's so true. Our place is in heaven with our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. You have immediate access to your Father, God. 24/7. There's no vacations for God. He's always there waiting for us. And Jesus is there with his arms wide open. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You belong to his family. I should have a capital H on that. You bear his name. I'm a Christian. I'm a part of Christ. He's in me. He's part of me. You have a full share in the inheritance he promised his children. Now that's pretty exciting. Full inheritance. Yes? Satan has no claim on you because you are no longer a part of his family and he is no longer your father. Satan is no longer your father. You've come out of the darkness into the light. And we have the power, because we can do all things through Christ with strength in us. We have the power to say no to Satan. We don't do it all the time, do we? I certainly don't, and I have to confess that. I might not be invited back to Parkcrest because I'm being so open and transparent. But I goof many times. But I don't have to goof. I have the Holy Spirit on my side. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and he's given me the power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yes? Let's apply it. Adoption means that you have a new family. And you know something? Maybe the reason I love to come to Parkcrest, even though it's by Zoom, is because you are my brothers and sisters. Yeah. Yeah. You might come from a different place. You might come from the Ukraine. You might come from France. You might come from Brazil. But you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited anyway. Adoption means that you are a new privilege. We have so many privileges, dear friends. Yes? Adoption means you have new responsibilities too. We mustn't forget that. We have new responsibilities. I want you to read along. I'm not going to read it. The next slide is the last one. And I like you read along. I'm going to just put one of my favorite songs on, but I want you to read it individually, personally. Okay, are you ready? Are you excited? We're just going to stop the sharing. I have a few more words, but are you excited? Are you excited that you're part of the family of God? I've got tears in my eyes. Maybe because I didn't have a family like some of you. Maybe because I did have two fathers and four mothers. Maybe it did that I had to travel so much and be around. But when I come home and I go to Cascades, I go to Parkers, I feel so part of. And I hope this message has encouraged you. I hope this message has been a blessing to you. And I hope that you're excited about being the family of God. Shall we pray? before I hand it back over to Mark. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these beautiful people I'm looking at out in Zoom land. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for each child there. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that who have adopted children. We thank you for those, Heavenly Father, that know people who have adopted children, and that after this message, they might share some of these thoughts with them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that they are special in your eyes because you have used them to accomplish your verses, your scriptures, that you do not abandon those orphans. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, and we ask your blessing upon this message. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask you this. Amen. Mark.